This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, when people talk about legends of little people and stuff like that, I think, wait a minute, doesn't that sound a little bit like gray aliens?
Yeah, I think so. If you look at some of the descriptions, particularly in the Celtic lore, the little men that came from the sky, and they did mention some things like horseless carriages or horseless buggies. I mean, how would you describe that if you'd never seen anything that flew? Well, there you go. But there is some resemblance to what they talk about, you know, the bulbous heads and the slit eyes and things like that in some of them. But once you delve into that fairy lore, there are literally hundreds of different species of fairies. There are pixies, there are brownies, there are gnomes, there are trolls, there are on and on and on, and different realms within those fairy creatures, and they all have different assignments and things. And then you kind of get into the religious aspect of that. People claim that those are not fairies at all, but they're fallen angels or the Nephilim or, you know, who knows what, demons of some sort. You can go down some deep rabbit holes there. The disappearance that you're mentioning there earlier, that was David Lang. I read that as a kid. It was in one of Frank Edwards' books that was published in 1959. He's a farmer in Gallatin, Tennessee, who was supposedly walking across the field in full view of his wife, children, and two men that were approaching in a buggy. He was just there 1 minute, gone the next. And I think they did find a circle of discolored grass where he disappeared. And at some point, his children had gathered around that and were calling for him. And they heard his disembodied voice calling for help, and then it faded away, and they never heard him again.
That's the story, Steve, exactly the story I mentioned before. It was related by someone we knew in the New York offbeat circle by the name of John J. Robinson, Jack Robinson, and that's precisely the story. I thought it was the Midwest, rather, and you say it's Tennessee. When you talked about people who have been found looking as though they had fallen from great heights, but there were none, the first thing that came into my mind is that they were levitated or teleported into a UFO and then dropped. That's one incredible explanation, but everything we're talking about here is incredible.
Yeah, that's another thing I've even heard search and rescue National Park Service employees say. They didn't go into the mountain. They're not on the mountain. The only way they could have went is up. And it makes you wonder if that's maybe not what happened, and some of them, for whatever reason, were tossed back out, or, again, you know, did the rocks swallow them and spit them back up? Did something pick them up and drop them? Mm-hmm. And then some of these things, there are no real answers, and there are only more questions. And I've found that through all my research and stuff that I've gotten into. I've come up with a lot more questions than answers. Answers are few and far between. So now it's a quest for the next question.
Just as a little anecdote here about trolls, I don't know how well known it is, but the English word toll, to pay a toll, comes from trolls in Scandinavia, and particularly in Sweden. The myth is that when you were walking along out in the countryside, a troll would jump out of the bushes or wherever and demand payment to let you pass. And if you didn't pay him, bad things happened to you. And that was the origin of the English word troll, to pay the troll to let you go past. I lived in Sweden for a couple of years, a long time ago, so I know that story firsthand. You know, I want to make a personal statement here, and I have a feeling from what you've said so far, you'll probably agree with me, but I'm not leading the witness again. I love the woods. My father was a woodsman. He was a hiker. He did the Appalachian Trail, by the way, most of it from Pennsylvania, actually, Pennsylvania, all the way down to West Virginia, I think, and then and back again, and was bitten by a dog and along the way, and told a lot of stories. So I was familiar with the outdoors and loved the outdoors. We went camping and so on. I was in the Boy Scouts, and we did a lot of this. But, you know, I live out in the country here outside Bern, Switzerland, in a beautiful area, and we have lots and lots of woods. And I love them during the daylight, but I don't want to be anywhere near them at night. I don't know if it's something primordial, something, you know, there's danger in the woods, maybe a predator or something else. There are predators in the woods, but the big question is, what kind? When I say predator, I don't necessarily mean an animal. We don't have bears around here. We don't have wild cats. But there's just something, I don't know, that tells me I don't belong in the woods at night. I get nervous. We used to take the dog up, you know, in the wintertime. It got dark early, and I just couldn't wait to get back into the car to drive back to the village. And I just have a feeling that the woods are a great place during daylight, but we just don't belong there at night because of things in there that reside. Entities that reside in the woods. What do you think about that?
I agree, and I think, like you said, it's one of our primal fears that we've managed to hold on to, is that fear of the dark, that fear of not knowing that there's something out there, you know, there could be something out there. And I believe that there is. I mean, a lot of these stories, they may have been told as cautionary tales to keep children out of the woods at night, but then I think there is definitely something out there, too. It kind of goes both ways. But I think that's one of our greatest fears as a human, is something that we can't see. And that's why a lot of these stories, I think, are so fascinating, because it's an unknown. And when you're trying to factor in an unknown like that, when it's something that's after you, that's the most frightening thing. I've had encounters in the woods with things that I couldn't see. And to me, that was much more frightening than something I could see. Give me a bear or a wildcat any day. I can see that. I can identify that. I can get away from it. But something that you can't see, that's, you know, how do you even, the only thing you can do is run and hope for the best.
Gene, what was the name of that student film project? It was called The Something Project. That was just about this. It was a scary movie done by students. Something with B.
Blair Witch Project.
The Blair Witch Project. Exactly.
That's where they were able to make a film with a multi-million-dollar gross for like $15,000.
Yeah, and it was kids who did it. And it was scary. It was really scary. And the other one in the same genre almost was The Night of the Living Dead. Mm-hmm. I tell you that some of these low budget movies are among the scariest that you can imagine. You know, talking about things in the woods, I had a friend of mine, he still is, but he did a lot of traveling. Actually, he was a Hindu monk.
Before we go to the Hindu monk, let me just give you stats here. Okay. The Blair Witch Project took 8 days to film. About 20 hours of footage was shot. The original budget actually was between $35,000 and $60,000, but it did cost, they estimate, between $200,000 and $750,000 after post-production. Okay? The film rights were purchased by Artisan Entertainment for $1.1 million. And the total gross of Blair Witch Project, $250 million. Go back.
Wow.
Phenomenal. And most of that expense after post was for making the prints for the distributors to send to the theaters.
But wasn't it conceived and produced or filmed actually by students?
Yeah, it was totally unknown people. They just took cameras with them out in the woods. They didn't really even necessarily know what was going to happen. Sometimes they would get a script like the night before. They called it tree mail. The director would leave what was going to happen. He knew. He had things planned out. But most of the people in it didn't know what was going to happen or to who or when. Mm-hmm. And I think that was what made it so scary. And then their marketing campaign, they started putting up posters around college campuses. Have you seen these people? These three kids from Burkittsville, Maryland disappeared on such and such dates. The only thing we found was some video footage.
Steve, Bob, Jean, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
A way to market a film that costs practically nothing to make and gets huge returns. But think about it this way, guys. You can buy a brand new iPhone. They've got a new version called the iPhone 13, where it does create pictures in a cinematic mode, which automatically provides the focus and the focal length to make it look like a film. You can buy this for prices starting at $700, plus, you know, the monthly rate that you pay if you buy it on time. But you could make professional-grade 4K movies with this little device and a budget of nothing, almost.
But the charm of these productions like Night of the Living Dead and the Blair Witch Project, is the simplicity of the production. They weren't slick at all. They were, that maybe that was part of the power of them, that you felt as though they were, you were part of it. It was like your own home movies, you know. That was not Hollywood or anything like that. But I do want to tell you the story about the Hindu monk who was not directly involved in this, but he had a couple of colleagues of his, and they were traveling in, here it comes, folks, Transylvania. And Transylvania, for those who don't know, it was not invented by Frankenstein. It actually exists. It's a huge, huge woods in Romania. And they were traveling through there, and it's just like the movie. They were warned by the local people, don't stay in the woods, make it to the next village. And they didn't. They were in a car. They were in a van, an old van. And they just couldn't make it to the next village. They were in the middle of somewhere. And they decided to spend the night parked on the side of the road or the dirt road, whatever it was, in the middle of the woods in Transylvania. I won't draw it out. The punchline comes very quickly. They woke up in the middle of the night, you know, the classic 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, with noise of things, something, scurrying around the vehicle. And they looked out, they turned on the light, and peering at them from the windshield and from the side windows were what these monks described as demons, horrible creatures. And it scared the daylights out of them. And they just stayed in there and did whatever they did, prayers or mantras or whatever, to get rid of these things. And they swear that it was absolutely true. And from what I know of Hindu monks, they do not make up stories like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how many stories like this apply to the national parks in the United States. Look, you mentioned the Celtic beliefs. I believe it is the Celts, and certainly in Ireland especially. Don't they believe that fairies and ghosts and supernatural entities live inside the trees and come out during the night? I'm sure you've heard that one, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. In the trees and the woodlands, but particularly in the trees. And then you had the Druids, of course, in that general area, too, that believed that the trees had spirits and things that dwelled inside the trees. So.
Exactly, exactly. That's the point, yeah. And who knows? I mean, you said earlier on in the show about wanting to lie down, you know, underneath a beautiful old oak tree, and something inside said, not a good idea.
Yeah.
And maybe you were getting a message from somebody or something. You know, intuition, it's not directly related to what we're talking about, but I think for people who are going out in the woods or going out in desolate areas, we should listen to our intuition. I'm convinced that we are programmed, you know, like a computer. We've got all kinds of programs inside, all kinds of software that keep us alive. Instincts, primordial things, you know, warnings. Maybe we're in contact with some kind of, spirits or guardian angels or whatever you want to call it. But we all have felt this. We have all gone through this, that something says, don't go around the corner or put your brakes on. There's danger, you know, and as you say, synchronistically, somehow it can save your life. And it's happened to all of us. So we have to really take this seriously. I mean, we have no right to be so skeptical. This is uncharted area. And what you've been doing, Steve, in the national parks and disappearing people. I mean, up to a point, we can rationally explain, as you have, what happens to people. I mean, I've heard stories about Swiss mountain guides down in Zermatt at the Matterhorn saying they had to turn people away because they turned up to climb the Matterhorn wearing sneakers.
Yeah.
You know, some people just are not equipped to survive in the wild. But, you know, you put that in the equation from what I understand from your writing and what you've been saying, like in UFOs, there is a large category, a large group of these things that cannot be explained by rational explanations.
Yeah, indeed. And that's where the fascinating part comes in. I mean, yeah, there's going to be death by misadventure or, like you said, being ill-prepared, the wrong kind of clothing, not enough food and water. I recommend, even if you're just going for a short hike, take enough stuff to last 2 or 3 days, because you never know. I know people that saved their life. And through no supernatural event or anything, they just simply got lost. And likewise, there are people that go into the woods to not be found, the people that want to either end it all, which that happens occasionally, or people that just want to start a new life, so they disappear in the woods, come back out somewhere else out of the woods, and carry on. Now, that's a little harder now than it would have been, you know, decades ago. But even with the ones that take their own life, some of these people, I mean, literally, they parked at the trailhead, they walked onto the trail, maybe a few miles in, and then disappeared and never saw them again. I don't know how you could find a place to end your life that quickly where nobody's going to find your body, nobody's going to find anything. And again, with animal predation, there's going to be some kind of evidence. There's going to be signs of a struggle. There's going to be torn clothing. There's going to be blood, hair. There's no animal out there that can eat the entire human in one setting. Bears tend to cache their kills in the bushes or even in the dirt, where big cats like to leave theirs up in a tree so they can come back and get to it. And that's, you know, they take that into account when they search for people. They look, those searchers know those things. They look for signs of a struggle. They look up in the trees. They beat the bushes to make sure there's not a partially devoured body in there and stuff. So where did those people go? That's the thing. You know, even there have been people that even know that people knew that they were going in there to end their lives, yet they still never found the body.
I'm going to ask you a quick question before we go on with the case histories and speculation about other motives for people to want to disappear themselves that might be always worth considering. We're looking at Steve Stockton here, and the books we're discussing are National Park Mysteries and Disappearances, available in the main volume and in volume 2. More to come with Gene, with Bob, and with Steve. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The killing of Gabby Petito and the disappearance of the person of interest in her death, her fiancé, Brian Laundrie, is prompting an attorney in Florida to put up a $20,000 bounty to track down his whereabouts. Tatiana Buoff, a lawyer and mom of two, saying, "I think every missing child is a parent's worst nightmare. We hope that together we can get some answers and some justice for Gabby." reality TV star Dog the Bounty Hunter also joining in the search for laundry. Former President Trump is rallying voters in Georgia Saturday in support of Republican campaigns to win back the House from Democrats in the 2022 midterm elections.
1 year from now, Georgia is going to be a central battleground in our fight to rescue our beloved nation.
The former president in Perry, Georgia. USA Radio News. Next week, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Mark Milley will testify before Congress on the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Iowa Republican Senator Joni Ernst says the administration is leaving behind Americans still in the country.
This administration is acting as if we are done with Afghanistan. We are done getting Americans out.
Ernst continuing on Fox News by saying there will be questions about the U.S. soldiers who were killed near the Kabul airport during the evacuation.
We lost 13 souls, those brave service members, in the last few days of this haphazard withdrawal. We need to know and understand what has happened.
The 13 service members were killed in a suicide bombing. President Biden and Vice President Harris have nothing on their public schedules this weekend. President Biden spending his weekend at Camp David. Last weekend he spent it at the beach in Delaware. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Steve Stockman, before we get back to this, just wanted to throw this in. Obviously, it's possible that certainly adults who might disappear have what they might regard as legitimate reasons to want not to be found. Financial, criminal, etc. And they're doing this to escape justice. So how do we separate that? Do we look into the backstory to see if there is one?
Yeah, that would be the easiest way. I mean, you have people like Eric Rudolph. He blew up some abortion clinics and things because of his political and religious views and became FBI's most wanted. He went on the run and went into the National Forest. I think he was down in the, let's say, Georgia, North Carolina, that area, Nantahala, and some of those places down there. And it's a good place to hide. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of acres of absolute wilderness. I mean, if you stayed off the trails and away from the places where people tend to go, I believe there's places in the National Forest and National Parks that possibly no human has ever set foot, at least not any time recently. And he was able to stay in there for several years. And the only reason he got caught when he did, he got a little too bold and was coming out of the woods and going into town and scavenging in the dumpsters. A rookie police officer saw him digging in the dumpster and recognized him from the wanted posters. So I think there are probably fugitives out there, people that don't want to be found for whatever reason. It might not be anything that spectacular. It could be somebody that just wanted a new life, somebody that wanted to walk away, that left their entire family behind and decided to stay in the woods. I mean, there are people like us hermits that don't want to be bothered with everyday living. And if you can live off the grid, that would be the place to do it. I mean, you've got fresh water. You've got game. If you're handy with trapping or fishing, if you know wood lore and woodcraft and things, you can build shelters. You can survive out there. It's within us. I think a lot of it, with creature comforts and things, has been bred out of us, but at one time we knew how to do it. I mean, just a few generations ago, my father's family, they came from Middle Tennessee over on the Cumberland Plateau, Ventress County, Jamestown area. I mean, they didn't have electricity until my dad was 6 years old. He was born in 1921. So they had, they drank water out of the creek. They hunted for food. They farmed. So just, you know, a few generations back, it was possible. I think there's people that take that challenge up and just disappear. I have a YouTube channel called Missing Persons and Mysteries, and I just recorded a story for there today about a girl named Fauna Jackson, who was part of a, like a work study program. Had gone into the Tetons. She was from Cincinnati, Ohio. She was 16 years old. And volunteered to work on this, like a civic project where they went out and did trail building and stuff in the national parks out there. She disappeared. And of course, being a child, a teenager, the alarm went up right away. They found her within a day or two. It was a few days, I think. But the odd thing about it was when they found her, she had cut her own hair, dyed it a different color, had different clothing on, and actually ran from the search and rescue crews. They had to finally get the police to help restrain her. She didn't want to go back to her home, her family, her school. Even at 16 years old, she'd had enough of the good life, so to speak, and just had plans to hide out in the woods and disappear and then start over at some point. So I think there is cases of that can happen. And that's, but again, you know, most of those are found one way or the other, whether they're a criminal or whether somebody like this that just takes off on a whim, more or less, because she hadn't really prepared for it, or she would have been better prepared, needless to say.
I would imagine also, Steve, there are digital methods of falsifying your ID, where if you move, say, to another country, it would be more difficult in the U.S. to escape detection, that you could probably survive under your fake digital identity for many, many years before you'd be discovered, if then.
Yeah. And like I said, it's more difficult now than it used to be. I mean, look at somebody like John List, murdered his entire family. Moved to another state, changed his name, and started a whole new family. And it took them years and years to catch him. Even though he was not hiding in the woods or anything, he was hiding in plain sight. And as things the show, was Unsolved Mysteries, or one of those aired a segment on him, and the neighbors recognized him and said, hey, that looks like so-and-so. Turns out it was him, and they caught him that way. So it's more difficult than it used to be, for sure. But I think if you've got the money or the wherewithal and make the right connections, you can. For example, I lived in Las Vegas for a few years, several years ago. It's been about 8 years ago now. I lived out there for about 7 years. And there was a flea market in North Las Vegas that I was told you could get anything you wanted there. You could get a passport, you could get a birth certificate, driver's license, anything you wanted, pro, official looking, for a price. Now, I don't know. I didn't test that theory, but that was what I heard. And a lot of people do go to the desert to disappear, either to a place like Las Vegas where you can just get lost in the crowd, or the grander part of the bigger part of the desert. There's a lot of missing people in the deserts out there in the Mojave.
I have to jump in here because I have a European perspective. I grew up in northern New Jersey, but I've lived most of my life in Switzerland for professional reasons. And I want to get into northern New Jersey in just a few minutes, if I may. But this is an interesting point about finding people, or how easy it is to disappear. I think this is maybe one of the reasons why, to my knowledge, we don't have so many stories of disappearing people over here, because unlike the United States, and I think Canada as well, you can't disappear that easily here. Because if you take up residence in a town, for example, here in Switzerland and other countries in Europe, it's exactly the same. You have to register with the local authorities. They know who you are. They know where you are. You can't do any kind of social services or function normally without being registered, so everybody can put their fingers on you. Not in an evil way. I mean, we're not being suppressed by the authorities, you know. We're not losing our freedoms here. But they know where you are. You're registered. And, you know, if somebody goes missing here, it's on national television. You know, they come up, it's Mr. So-and-so. They give a description, has been missing for 3 days. Has anybody seen this person? And very often they turn up. I think, and I love the supernatural. I'm not trying to detract from that, but I think a lot of these things are really, as you've been describing them, Steve, just people going under, you know.
Yeah.
They just want to get out of the rat race. They want to disappear. But, of course, that does not mean that there are not other explanations,
right.
Paranormal explanations to this, which we'll get into.
Yeah, I'm not trying to look at the whole picture that way. And that's, you know, kind of Occam's razor. Sometimes you have to approach the most likely to happen and assume that's what did happen. But a lot of times that's just not the case, you know, that it's there's something else has gone on there.
I mentioned Northern New Jersey just a few seconds ago. Are you aware, and if you're not, I won't hold it against you because it's somewhat obscure. There is on the New Jersey-New York state line, that's just near where I grew up, as a matter of fact, Mahwah, New Jersey, just straddling the New York-New Jersey line. There is the Watchung Mountains. And I don't know if that rings a bell, but we had a lot of stories of disappearing people there. But having said A, as they say in German, you have to say B. That's the A statement. The B statement follows. There is a minority group which has settled there for a couple of hundred years now called the Jackson Whites.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're called. Maybe you've heard of them.
Yeah,
they came up from the South, and they don't like strangers there. And, when I grew up and we knew it, and the Boy Scouts, we were told, just stay out of there because people turn up among the missing in that area.
We're going to miss these announcements if we don't listen to them. More to come with Steve, Bob, Gene, you're in.
The Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
As some of our regular listeners recall, the late Jim Moseley had visited the Jackson Whites at one time and wrote about them.
And lived to tell the tale.
Yes, or maybe he didn't. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised people know about it because I thought it was a very local thing. Speaking of local things, Steve, I've got to bring up something very close to Gene's heart and location. Also, my parents, when they retired from New Jersey, they moved out to Phoenix, Arizona, to Scottsdale. And there is a notorious mountain range called the Superstition Mountains. And there are a lot of stories there going back to the Indians, the native peoples, lots and lots of disappearing people there. It's not a national park, maybe not exactly in your ballpark, but I have a suspicion you've heard of it at least.
Oh, I've not only heard of it, I've been there. That was one of the things I read about like back in the 70s, and that was on my bucket list until I was old enough to get out there and visit. Yeah, there's all kinds of strange things out there. Of course, you've got the Flying Dutchman mine. There's stories of rocks that can't be photographed, of clouds that will come up out of nowhere and follow you along like they're shadowing you. There's a lot of beheadings out there. They found several corpses without a head and never found the head. So, again, it's not a national park or any kind of recreation area, really. But strange things happen there. There's some tribes that won't go into it at all, that avoid it, you know, go way around to stay out of it. There are others that will go only go to certain parts of it. And then some tribes just don't seem to care. And I think that's unique how you have those different bands of Indians there that means something different to all of them. But they still acknowledge that there's something there. And usually when these places have a name, superstition, ghost, devil, Satan, something like that, there's a reason for that. There's something that has occurred there at one time or another. Or strange things that still happen there. I mean, even recently, you had the family that was found deceased on the trail there in Mariposa County, those mountains, in a place called Devil's Gulch. Well, there you go. Nobody that I've heard yet has told why it come to have that name, but so they stay out of places with that name.
And we have to, again, you say A, you've got to say B. This begs the discussion about the Darrows. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They're not necessarily generic to your field of interest, but this is allegedly, and it's been reported for many years, the story of a group, underground race living, presumably, we don't know for sure, but they may live around or underneath the Superstition Mountains. They come out of caves. They have caves there. They abduct people, turn them into slaves, and sometimes even kill them. And this is one explanation for the many disappearances there. And of course, Gene, you'll remember the story about Steve Brody, which we've mentioned here on the Paracast several times, the story told by Jack Robinson in Jersey City, New Jersey, about a friend of his who was out in what we assume was the Superstition Mountains with a friend looking for precious stones, and they were abducted by the Darrows. They were not killed, but were managed to escape somehow and turned up with a complete mental blackout. The partner got lost somewhere. No one knew what happened to him, but Steve Brody turned up in New York City. Have you ever had any dealings? Not personally, but have you heard about the Darrow stories, Steve?
Yeah, I have heard the Darrows, and there's similar tales about Mount Shasta, which I covered. It's in California. I covered that in the second volume of National Park Mysteries and Disappearances. There's a very similar type race of people that supposedly live in the mountain and do the same things. They kidnap people or try to brainwash them or impregnate them or do all these other things, take samples from them and make other prototypes. There's some weird stuff out there in the desert, that's for sure. The Superstition Mountains, it's got a strange off feeling about it. And then kind of like Sedona, I know a lot of people that's a power spot. There's supposedly a vortex there. But there's an evil side to that, too, I think. It's not all unicorns and rainbows down there. Anytime I think that you have that kind of a vortex, if you will, there's an evil side or a darker side to it. You mentioned the Jackson Whites. Yeah, I was real familiar with that. The head writer for the YouTube channel, and she's also my co-host for the live stream and stuff, she's from New Jersey and has many, many tales of driving through that area, you know, on dares and stuff as teenagers. We had kind of the same thing in East Tennessee, a people called the Melungeons. They were kind of a swarthy, dark-skinned people. Nobody knew exactly where they were from, and it was the same kind of thing. You don't know where they are. They'll shoot at you. They'll get in their vehicles and chase you. Very similar to the Jackson Whites.
We cannot possibly avoid, and I'm sure we don't wish to, but as a figure of speech, we cannot avoid Bigfoot. Now, Bigfoot has got to figure somewhere, at least in speculation about disappearing people. We hear on the one hand that Bigfoot is very elusive, shy of people, but I've heard other stories. I know you followed Ivan Sanderson.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I interviewed Ivan Sanderson many years ago in the 1960s on two occasions, and he was talking about Bigfoot. He claims that they've never been violent, but I've heard other people who claim that they can be very violent, ripping up camps and even attacking people. I mean, what do you know about Bigfoot in connection with missing people?
Yeah, that's one of the things that you have to consider. There are stories of particularly missing children that were later found that have stories of either a bear or a dog that took care of them. In some cases, picking berries and things like that and bringing them to them. Well, I've never heard tell of a dog or a bear that would take care of a human child, and certainly a dog can't pick berries, and I don't think a bear would. But those stories, I tend to think those kids encountered something other than a dog or an animal. That's just all they know, though, at that age. It's usually kids like under five that have had those experiences. I believe Bigfoot plays into some of these. There's been adults that have described those kind of creatures. Just up the road here from where I am in Oregon on Mount St. Helens in Washington, miners encountered what they described as hairy ape men on the slopes of Mount St. Helens and fought with them. The creatures trapped them in their cabin, tried to reach in and pull them out, rained boulders down on the cabin all night, and later they thought that they shot and killed one. And in fact, there's sent some expeditions up there to see if they think they found the site of that original cabin. So now they're looking in the surrounding area to see if they can find a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch skeleton. It tends to be Sasquatch out here. Bigfoot, Sasquatch, pretty much the same thing, just different vernacular there. But I believe that. There's other stories going back to even the 1700s and 1800s of these beasts. Sometimes they take people. They particularly seem to be interested in women and children. There's a story out of Bennington, Vermont, Bennington Triangle, as it's known. There's been a lot of strange disappearances there. There was one thing I came across, a report from the 1800s, where a stagecoach was going through an area there in the triangle and got stuck in the mud while trying to get it unstuck. Some hairy, tall creature runs out of the woods, turns the stagecoach full of people over, then looks in the window, sees the people in there, screams, and runs away into the woods. So I think there are some sort of beasts out there. You call it Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti, Yowie, whatever you word for it is. I think there's something out there, and I think sometimes it does take people. It can be... there's different versions of it. There's one place out here, Esetti Ranch in Washington, where they regularly have Bigfoot and UFO encounters. They claim that Bigfoot is just a different race of beings and that they're friendly and benevolent. But then there's other places, like the one on Mount St. Helens, where the Bigfoot attacks, or where Bigfoot has tried to nab children or women. So there's, again, I guess if they do exist, they're like people. There are good ones and bad ones.
Yeah, so they're not law-abiding, peaceful citizens like Ivan Sanderson claimed, I remember, in the interview. In fact, I put it to him that they can be violent. He said, "Where did you get that from?" And I said, "Well, I've heard the story." Nonsense. Well, obviously, now, it's not
unfortunately, unfortunately, Ivan Sanderson died so many years ago. He was what? I think in his 60s when he died. And it would have been fortunate to have him around for another 10 or 20 years. He was a fascinating gentleman indeed. We have Steve Stockton, and we're focusing mainly on his National Park Mysteries and Disappearances books. But there's a lot more to come with Gene and Bob. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. This is all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.